Hello and welcome to What a Jazz Podcast. I'm Elza Wisniewskita. I'm your host. And today I am speaking with two really lovely dancers. It's the first dance couple on the podcast. It's Simon and Ari. We had a call. They're at their home in Madrid, Spain. And we discuss their dance journey, how and where they started dancing, the beginning of their dance partnership, what's important, and what are the things that make it work. We also talk about their practice routines, habits, planning. They are overall just one of the most positive people in the community, and I hope you will enjoy this conversation as much as I did. Without further ado, Simon and Ari. So the easy or maybe a difficult question is, how are you doing?
Fine, I will say. Every day a little bit better and better, no? I feel that we are already leaving this pandemic, so better.
Yeah, I think like everyone, you can have good days and bad days, and that's just the reality. But yeah, we're starting to feel a bit more positive about everything.
Nice.
I think.
It's funny you say that, because you seemed, from the things that you've been doing, to be the most positive of all the dancers that I know. And I know it's probably hard, as it was for everyone, but from the things you put out there, it seemed like you managed to find this energy to keep on going and practicing and dancing. And it was really inspiring to see. I was like, okay, I need to keep up. Simon and Ari are practicing every day.
Yeah, this is something that we just forced ourselves at the beginning to really not stop. And luckily we were living in the same city. That helps a lot. And we just kept going. And then it was like a habit during these days, you know? But we had fun. Yeah, of course, it was the situation, like a pandemic. We are far away from each other, but we survived well, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's nothing that will motivate you more than the necessity to pay rent. You know, like the whole, I like living in an apartment. That's, that you know, that helps. But yeah, at the beginning, I think it was just, because at the beginning they said, oh, it will be 2 weeks. And I don't know if anyone even remembers that anymore, but I remember them saying, oh, we're going to have to keep you inside for 2 weeks. And we went, okay, cool. Let's just practice. And then 2 weeks became this.
2 years later.
Yeah, exactly. 2 years later. I think it helps that we were together. Hmm. I think it helps that we work together and we live in the same city. So
yeah, and the restrictions in Spain were really hard at the beginning.
Yeah.
So we didn't have anything else to do. So we just decided to keep dancing.
Yeah.
Keep going.
And yeah. Yeah, it's like everyone got to know, I think, your guys' apartment, just like all the other people who've been producing things in their living rooms. I had some people come to my apartment after COVID and they're like, oh yeah, I recognize this wall.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and our apartment was looking bigger than what actually was. We just moved. But
yeah,
when people came to our apartment, it was like, here was the thing. Oh, it looked bigger in the videos. So we're like, yeah. You know, this sofa was against the wall, you know?
Yeah. The online classes, have they changed the way you teach now that you've back to normal classes, live classes? Have you noticed new ways of approaching it?
That's a great question. I think a little bit. Just because I mean, we're not yet in completely normal classes either. We're still wearing, here in Spain, we still have to wear masks.
Indoors.
Yeah, and you're not really changing partners a lot. They're starting to do maybe like two couples. Like you change with one other person. But I think one of the big things was trying to be really clear and obvious all the time, because you're there on a tiny, tiny screen rather than physically in front of someone. So I remember at the beginning, it was so much more tiring than a normal, you know, physical class. Just because you had to put so much energy into a tiny little camera.
Yeah, that's true. But then we like it.
Yeah.
I mean, you get used to, you know,
yeah,
it's like, okay. And it was different. You were at home, you were doing more research about swing, jazz, Lindy Hop, the roots. So our approach in classes was different too.
Mm.
And we had the time for learn more or keep learning.
Keep learning, yeah.
And I feel that now a lot of the things that we were working during the pandemic, we are bringing the normal classes too. But we still do the Patreon, so we keep both.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't let it go completely.
Mm.
We like it. I think it's just become a part of the normal life now.
Right.
Which, nice, I guess.
But at any point, did you have a feeling or a thought of not doing dance? Like, because I know a lot of people around me in Vilnius, like we, at some point we did other jobs and we were questioning like, okay, you know, when things are going to come back, will they come back? And it was quite tricky to keep that faith, because at some points in like the midst of pandemic, it just felt like things are never going to return. So have you ever faced this moment where you were thinking of like, well, maybe that's it. We're just going to have to find something else now. Or you were like, no, not letting that thought in.
Personally, I didn't think about that. For me, it was like, okay, let's keep going. Of course, that it all went
to hell.
I would have done another job, of course, but I didn't think about it.
Hmm.
We were just so focused doing our routines every day of training, then the Patreon became kind of a little job. We had these things of, I don't know, we set some little objectives that help us to keep improving our dance. For example, like, okay, let's have a chorus per week. Let's do some improvisation this week. Let's work on that. And the online thing was like, we decide to post it. And that kept us busy. And luckily in Madrid, we had some friends too, like Gaz, Alba, Felix. So when we could leave our homes, we were training together too.
Yeah.
So it was not just the two of us alone doing that. And the Patreon was bringing us a lot of people. So we were all the time in communication with people, in contact.
Yeah,
that's nice.
I think sometimes there were moments maybe where we just felt a little bit more down about things, but every now and again, you know, a bit like this, you'd have a chat with someone online and say, hey, how's it going? And you try and like lift each other's spirits and feel a little bit more positive. And that would maybe last like another 2 weeks. So yeah, I think everyone was in a pretty weird situation and a really weird mindset. But if you talk to each other and just accepted that, yeah, it was weird, it still is, then it made it more okay that you sometimes felt a bit rubbish.
And I will say we are too. So
yeah.
And we survived to that, but we were not sure that this partnership will survive this pandemic at some point, you know, because it's kind of come on. Sometimes I have energy, sometimes it's Simon, sometimes we were never like for 2 weeks in a row in the same point, emotionally, for example. So that was a lot of conversations all the time between us, you know, saying, okay, but what do you want? What I want? How do you feel? And we had to talk more than ever.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I don't know. Yeah.
But now I saw you're doing a show with Enric Pedro Swing Tech and more dancers. And how is it going? What is the plan? I'm very curious.
So this is not because of pandemic, because we didn't have anything else to do. And we're working with, training with Felix, Alba, Gas, Simon, and me. And we all know Enrique. Gaston and Enrique are close friends. So we were saying, let's do something. You know, you start training, like, just improve your dance. Then aerials. But I was not happy at the beginning, but now I enjoy them a lot. Then we were, okay, let's do a routine. Okay, I was talking to Enrique. I had a chat with him, blah, 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 blah. And the thing just built up super quick. And he was like, okay, if you do something, I'm in. And we were like, okay, so let's do a show. Let's create a storyline. Let's work in different routines. And now we go to theater where we'll do the first
show. The first show, yeah. It's all one big experiment for now. We have no idea if it will end up being more things. It, you know, financially, we're not really that bothered about it being successful. We just wanted to do something that would include all of us and that would include live music and the idea of connecting dance and music. And we'll kind of see where it goes right now. I think all focus is on just that first show and getting it done. And then after that, we'll see what we want to do, if we want to keep it in this direction or change it and make it work in a different way. But we'll see. It's, pandemic, baby.
For now it's like an investment of money, of time, of energy, and illusions.
Yeah.
We'll see where it goes.
Yeah, that makes me very excited. I just personally, I'd like to see these things happen more in the community. I hope this is one direction that the dance can take off, being more on stage, conversations with musicians, and actually building those things up. Instead of only, so far we had mainly competitions as performing elements. And now I'm just really excited by that idea of creating something not in a competition setting necessarily, but something a bit more alive. So I'm following this, your journey, to just also get some inspirations and, maybe do something here too.
Yeah, I think it's a super cool experience. Like, it's scary because it is so different to a competition. Like, it's not 3 minutes. It's, you want to do a good solid hour or something that has to keep people in the seat. And it's quite fun to think about Lindy Hop, think about swing dances in that sort of way. Because normally we do just think about it in that short 3.5 minutes, you know, do one song, do it, or even less. It's quite cool. I'm enjoying this. For me, it's quite new. For you, it's a little bit like the theater and the concept of the theater is, you know it more.
Yeah, because before I was working in ballet companies. So that's good because we are using a lot of things that I was doing.
Yeah.
But in with swing, it's super different. And for me, it's new too. So.
Yeah.
Hope that you enjoy it when it comes.
Yeah.
And it's also a different way of communicating with musicians. Again, we usually communicate with musicians for that one song. We pick a song, we pick a tempo. But now you have to make a full show together with a band. How is that process going?
That was slow. Now it's all done. Almost done. Because we were, last week, I think it was the first time that we met all together. All the musicians and all the dancers. And it was interesting, really. It was super nice to have a whole band there playing for you. And we were able to say, wait, we want that this work more in this way. Just wait for this solo. It was amazing. That experience was super nice for me. But with Enrique, like, we were having a lot of conversation about, and it was interesting for us too, because we had some opinions about, we want this. Yeah. The song. And then Enrique was seeing it from another point of view. Like, no, but these two cannot be together because the riffs are almost the same. The tone of the song is different.
Mm.
And it was another one. But with a lot of time, we managed to do something. So that's been interesting.
Yeah, they've been really flexible about it because we might, as a group of dancers, know quite a lot about the music and be okay with it, but there are certain things that will escape you if you're not actually a musician. So they were quite flexible with explaining them and giving us different ideas.
When is the first show?
25th of March.
Yeah.
In Granada.
In Granada, okay.
Because the theater was a little bit cheaper and was available.
Yeah.
And people from Granada are being so nice. Pop-up swing.
Yeah, shout out to Cecile. Yeah. Because it's mostly thanks to her that it's happening in Granada. And she's been a huge support.
I also want to talk a little bit about earlier days. You already mentioned that, Ari, that you did different dancing before. Could you do like a short recap of, you know, your previous dance experience and how did you get into Lindy Hop? And also, how was Lindy Hop for you when you got into it? Because I remember it was quite an interesting story.
Well, it's like I was a dancer since I was 18. I started to work like a professional dancer. My studies were dance. So I didn't do anything else in my life. But I came from a conservatoire
of dance.
So my specialty first was the contemporary, and then I did the ballet. And then for some years, I was just traveling in tours with big companies of ballet. And something interesting was like for me, before the movement was all, even before the music. And that's something that I changed with the time, you know, now without the in the swing. Like if you don't have music or rhythm, you cannot move. But for me, until now, that was super different. I just enjoyed the movement so much. And I had two approaches in swing. Once I was working in Moulin Rouge, so we had some Charleston thing. And, you know, moving just the fingers and jazz hands and these things. I was like, huh, that's interesting. And I kind of like it. But then I kept going with my career. And then when I came to Barcelona, my mom was dancing Lindy Hop. A friend of mine was in love with a girl that danced Lindy Hop. So after the theaters, they brought me in these rooms where people was dancing Lindy Hop, swing. And I just was there hanging out and I started to like, what were they doing? And I danced a little bit, but for me, I think that like a lot of people, first was the dance and then the music. I started to discover little by little. And my transition to the swing was like super slow too. I was working both things. The swing was more tight. And then, I don't know, the body hurts a lot when you are a ballet dancer. The swing brings you more happiness. And I just changed slowly to the Lindy Hop world.
Nice. I'm happy you did. That we have your full attention now. Simon, what about you? You started in London, right?
No, I started in Beijing.
Oh, that's true.
I was studying at university. I was studying Chinese and we went out for like Erasmus, same sort of thing, just further away. And I was in Beijing and there was actually a Lithuanian friend of mine in the group. Cool day.
Of course.
She had already been doing it a little bit at Vilnius for like a year. I don't think she dances anymore. She's in Poland now, I think. But so she'd been doing it a little bit, and we were at this concert of Nina Simone's granddaughter, of all things, in Beijing. And there were some Lindy Hoppers in the corner. And she was like, oh, wow, there's Lindy Hoppers over there, and went over. Started speaking to them and said, oh, it looks like they've got classes. We should go. And I didn't really have a better excuse. So I was just like, yeah, okay, let's go. And a whole group of us, like 10 of us, ended up going to this beginner's class. And I remember this thing that everyone there was sweating a lot. It was a very small room. The air conditioning wasn't great. And there were a lot of people. But I also remember that because even though everyone was sweating and like everyone was having a good time. And for me, I come from sports. I did more sports in my life. And you don't have a good time until you've won the thing. Like that is it. That was what I was taught in sports. Like you do the thing, you win the race, good. But until then, you're not smiling. And it was really interesting to see people in this context of like just having fun. Nothing more than just having fun and exercising and being with each other and socializing. And there was a social dance afterwards, and I had no idea what I was doing. But I had a good time. And I remember just this feeling of the social aspect of the dance and the people. And yeah, that was the thing that really caught me. That was the social dancing and the sort of the social aspect of it.
In China. Do you think you've carried that mindset from sports? Do you still have it? The competitiveness or kind of working at it, or it's gone?
I think the competitiveness maybe was there for a bit, but it's since not died off, but it's converted itself into something else, which I think is more just an interest in improving yourself and improving what you do. Mm. For nothing more than just wanting to improve. So it's no longer, or like, this is something we talk about a lot. If you do enter a competition, it's because you're competing against yourself. Like, hopefully you do a better job than the previous competition that you did. That's it. And anything more than that is a bonus. So I think you could define it as competitiveness, but it's not in I need to win.
Ari, are you competitive?
A little bit more than Simon, I will say, but not for winning competitions of Lindy Hop, you know? It's like, and the pandemic just changed all. So it's like, I always push to be better than what we did last week.
Yeah.
So between us, yes, I'm a little bit more competitive, I would say, because Simon sometimes can be a little bit more relaxed, but in a nice way, that it's a super good balance.
Yeah, but I would agree that it's a competitiveness to be better than what you were a week ago, rather than achieving that particular goal that has been established as the thing that you need to do. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's the best mindset to have if you're able to keep it. Like, that's the goal.
Yeah.
And can you tell a little bit how you started dancing together? How and where?
We met in Madrid.
Yeah.
In a little workshop that Swimmanix was doing, because I was working in Swimmanix in Madrid, Barcelona, and Simon.
In Madrid for Swimmanix as well.
Yeah, I was doing a little residency. Mm. So we met there. It was kind of
nice. We didn't even dance.
No.
If I remember correctly, we didn't even dance at this workshop. We just had the same.
He was the only non-Spanish in this event. So he was too busy, I would say. Prefanelli. Yes.
But I remember we went for a coffee and just chatted and just sort of went, you're a nice person. How about you too? Good. And then we saw each other in Barcelona the weekend after for a festival there.
And then we danced.
Sort of separate thing. And then we danced, yeah.
And it was nice. And then Simon, a couple of months, moved to Barcelona because we maniacs too. And we were teaching together. We started training together. All was being smooth. So that was nice. And we got an offer from China, from Beijing, to go and do a residency. And we were crazy enough to say, yes, why not? So I just didn't renew my last contract, like a ballet dancer. So I said, no, it's okay. And we went to Beijing for 6 months without thinking about what we were doing. But
luckily, it kind of worked out. Yeah. Thinking back at it now, I think we were crazy. We were pretty crazy to do that, considering we'd only known each other for a couple of months. Mm. And just to go out there and, drop an entire work contract. And your rent and your apartment and everything. It was a risk. But it worked out pretty well, I think.
Yeah.
I think it worked out okay.
What do you think makes a partnership work for you in your partnership? What are the most important things?
For me, I'll just speak for me, it's communication. In all its glory and all its messiness. Communicating a lot and being prepared to not have any idea of what the other person is trying to communicate to you and be okay with that And I had to learn a lot about this in terms of learning how to communicate better and empathize better and just listen. Mm-hmm. And being able to be like, but why do you feel like that? And then try and understand it a little bit and go from there. I think that the hardest, I think it's not just for partnership. I don't think it's just for dance partnership. I think it's a general life thing. If you get better at communicating, you're probably going to have smoother transitions between things.
Yeah.
For me.
For me, it's like that. Yeah, exactly. Communication, respect. Yeah, we love a lot each other. So that's nice. And we're good friends. So make it easy. And another thing is like, for me, it's recognize what is my problems and from where they come. But it's super easy sometimes to just throw the problem to your partner and be a little bit more moody.
Moody.
Because you are not handling your own frustrations.
Anxiety.
And I think that I'm thinking more about that since the pandemic. Because before we were all traveling, you had every week something to do, so you were just going through life.
Mm.
But now suddenly you were stuck with a lot of time of feel and think. And for me, that was super nice. That we learned more how to communicate and to really see, okay, this is my thing, this is your thing, this I have to solve it for myself. And this we need to talk because I need to change.
I think a dance partner is someone that definitely sees you at your best and at your worst. Probably even sometimes I think that even more than a romantic partner, because it's just like you spend this time together and you're like even traveling. You say that traveling, maybe you get things to do, but in the end, you're tired, you're exhausted, you know, you're flying all over. And like sometimes you just don't have a filter to be nice to that one person that you can trust. So you can be like the worst of yourself. But knowing that you can like come out of that being okay, I think that's important.
Yes. And then we are super different, Simon and me, in a lot of things. And even in simple things like, Simon is a morning person, I'm super night person. So it's like for the trainings we had to find a balance, you know, like that 11 in the morning for me it's morning, for Simon it's just I did things during the day, you know. It's like, and for traveling the same, when we need to share rooms, it's like, oh come on, don't close the light yet, or stupid things.
That meant the thing that's affected us quite a lot, actually, is that we are so different from that. And now we manage it pretty well. But
yeah, but this is easy to fix, I would say.
Yeah.
And I was more, Simon is super organized. I'm a little bit more chaotic in things.
You're a lot better now.
Now I'm better.
When we first met, there were several conversations about
the rooms, but we were not there.
We almost like, you know, when you have to like draw a line in the middle of a room, say, okay, that's my side and this is your side. We almost had to do that. But I don't think we're the only ones.
But now you're more relaxed.
Now I'm more relaxed. Yeah, I don't draw the line anymore.
Oh, that's amazing. The question that you probably get asked a lot is, are you a couple? Are you tired of answering this question?
No, we are not tired.
You got this.
We are not a romantic couple. We're just friends and yeah.
We care about each other a lot, and the fact that we know each other so well, and I mean, we're doing it now, we're almost finishing each other's sentences. I think a lot of people can confuse that with being a couple.
But it's something that happens a lot, right?
Yes.
When you see teachers together, you already think that they are a couple.
Yeah.
And we're like traveling a lot where he's like my brother and it's family. And I feel like that. And my family is adopting Simon. When I'm going to visit them, they're asking if Simon is coming for this Christmas. For them, I was like, no, mama, I'm your daughter. I'm coming home. Not Simon. But it's sweet. They love him a lot.
Yeah. No, yeah, your family is awesome. Yeah, I think it's quite normal for people to ask whether we're a couple or not. I don't know how much of it is also this illusion of like, oh, dance couples, dancing, that means we'll find a partner, you know, like projecting their, in themselves what they want to see out of a dance class.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe getting too philosophical here and unnecessarily. But no, we're not tired of it. It's generally we quite enjoy seeing how long it takes for people to ask. And seeing
you make it a game.
Yeah, like trying to find the inventive ways of not answering that question. You know, do you know what I mean? Like
sometimes
it's funny.
We were just waiting for it.
Because you can see that everyone's looking at you and smiling like a little bit weird. And you're like, oh, guys. And then suddenly it's like, oh no, nothing. And then a couple of hours later, they'll maybe say, you do a couple. No. Oh, okay, okay. And then they go off and talk to their friends or whatever. But yeah. No, we're not tired of that.
Nice. I mean, it's I would not want to be a romantic partner with a dance partner. And yeah, I don't think that's a good recipe. I know some people do it, but I think it's so challenging that in my eyes, there's some sort of superheroes trying to make it all with one person.
Totally. I think the people that manage that, because just being a dance partner is already an intense relationship. Yeah, it's like a couple.
Yeah.
And there's a lot, right? You already said it. Like there's airports, there's traveling, there's being tired, there's being grumpy, there's studio time.
It's different. If you are grumpy, it's like because of travel, but then you go home and you don't have any more discussions about it, you know?
Mm.
That's the cool thing of not being a romantic couple.
Yeah.
For us.
For us, yeah, but I super admire people that do both. I think it works for you. Awesome.
I also wanted to ask about just generally like your routines in practicing, working on things. Because you have the patron, you're doing performances. Do you have a set routine that you guys are doing daily or weekly?
Yes, we try to organize ourselves like 2 weeks in advance, something like that. And we train every day, or almost every day, maybe not Sundays. But yes, every day we are in the studio at least 2 hours. And sometimes it's just because we work on our dance. Sometimes it's because we have classes for Patreon or for now festivals. We hope that they really stay there. Exactly.
Fingers crossed.
And it was difficult at the beginning when we put the Patreon and the classes, the normal classes started, because suddenly it was too many things.
Yeah.
And the Patreon, we are really enjoying it. So it just needs a lot of planning ahead. Like have the classes ready, so when we go and we record, we can be effective. And then planning classes, because we teach here in Madrid too, and train. But yeah, it's just a question of planning ahead.
Yeah, I mean, ahead 2 weeks is not that much, but it's something. I think it's enough for us to feel like, okay, we have control of the next 14 days.
Yeah, I'm curious because, I mean, daily practice sounds like a great plan, but I'm also always curious about other dancers' routines, because I think differently from people in sports, I think people in sports usually have very strict routines.
Yeah,
I feel like every dancer, I mean, it's not sports, so it's more like, you know, artistic in that sense. So I think the way people practice varies so much, and the fact that you're managing to do it daily, I think it's something, yeah, that really makes a difference. And no, go ahead.
Sure. Okay. So for me, the thing of doing it daily, it removes a lot of pressure, because if it's today is not good, I will do it tomorrow better. Or if today I cannot work on that, I will do it tomorrow. So for us, like a routine into the studio is, we go always for a coffee before to train. And that's our main secret. When all goes well, is when we go for this coffee, we catch up a little bit and we decide what we'll be doing in the next 2 hours.
Yeah.
So it can be, let's create something. Let's work on swing outs. Let's work on kicks. Let's do social dancing today. Let's prepare classes. Which classes? Patreon or normal classes? or just let's, I don't know, enjoy different music, then we improv. Mm. So when we do that, all goes well. And then it just, we have like one or two things for training to work, not more.
Yeah.
Because if not, it's when it's a chaos and you are doing one thing, thinking about the other three things. And yeah.
That was the thing that was hardest for me was trying to just go in with into the training session with one or two goals. Because I was very good at being like, yeah, and then we can do 25 minutes of this and then 17 minutes of that. And then it's so unrealistic. Mm. And your body doesn't work like that. Your mind doesn't work like that. Mm. I remember you suggested, how about we just try one thing?
It was my dad who suggested.
Yeah.
And it was a good thing.
Yeah. It was, thank you, Abel. Yeah, it was, yeah, that definitely helped us a lot. Because it's so easy to put that pressure on yourself.
I'm so like jealous now a little bit just because it sounds so nice that you guys are in the same place and you have these routines and yeah, it just made me miss practicing with someone on more regular basis. Now it's just me, myself and I, which is fun too, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
But we love your videos too.
Yeah.
So please.
Keep going.
Yeah.
So.
I will keep going.
Yeah. You have a school, so
yeah, that's
a lot of things.
Yeah, that's a nice thing to actually have the studio to go to. So we closed the studio just in the beginning of pandemic. So for like more than a year, we didn't have a place. So most of the practices were like inside the apartment. And in this early summer, we reopened the studio in a new location. And now coming there, I feel like, okay, now I do want to have this regularity. Because when you're practicing in your apartment, everything can be shifted. You can practice now or in 2 hours or maybe tomorrow. But yeah. When you have a location to go, even it's just close by, it makes a difference. You have a more structured practice and a goal, maybe one goal of a day. I think I also struggled a lot with coming to the studio and thinking that I need to do everything. Prepare for classes, film a video, do some tap, like everything in one practice session. And yeah. It's so overwhelming.
Too much. Just really. Have a coffee and this.
With yourself.
I like how coffee is crucial because I really relate to that.
It is, but I think it's, yeah, it's just knowing whatever trick works for you. Like maybe it's meditating for some people or whatever, but for us it's having a coffee.
If it's a tough day, we go for a fancy coffee.
Yeah.
So we even have fish. You know, like you go for a coffee in the bar downstairs, or you go to a coffee place where
a
it's
good one, yeah.
A cappuccino con leche de avena and or fante, so you feel better.
Nice. And talking about those routines as well, because you practice a lot, you dance a lot. Do you have set ways to take care of your bodies? Sleep routines, exercise, food-wise?
Yes, all could be better. For me, it's if I sleep well and enough, I feel good. When I have like a few hours of... pocas horas de dormir.
Yeah, like a few hours of sleep.
This thing that he said. So my body doesn't react anymore.
Yeah.
And when we were before the pandemic, we tried to go to a physio at least once per month or twice per month. Now that changed because it's, you know, you cannot afford all the things that you afford before.
Yeah.
But for us, going to a massage place is the best thing. And a stretch.
Food-wise as well. I mean, we're at home, we cook vegan. And outside the home, it's a little bit more veggie. So sometimes there's an egg or a bit of milk or whatever, or cheese. But I think that now we do it without thinking about it, but that diet change definitely helps because it's less taxing on your body. There's a lot more, there's a lot more natural energy there. For me, I know that I felt the difference from when I wasn't vegan and when I was.
Okay.
I mean, but that between that and sleeping, and now we're both definitely getting back into the gym, which is nice.
Yeah, and I bought one of these pillows that massage your back. And that's the best thing that I could do, you know.
You don't now need that a physio. Who needs a physio when you have a pillow?
Right? 20 euros.
Yeah. Like before with a physio, but now every night, and I put everywhere. And then I feel the next day that I feel better. Nice. So I recommend that.
I guess one of the rounding off things, just want to know, what are your future dreams or goals in the, let's say, next year? Of course, we don't know how things are going to turn out, but how do you see your partnership, your creation evolving?
I'm just excited to keep going with the energy that we're having during this pandemic, but in a real world, you know, like with more travels, seeing more friends. I don't know, keep improving our dance, but without any rush.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have any big goal, like we need to achieve that. It's more like, let's see how we will feel. And I hope that we can keep being nice to each other. So for me, this is the more important thing. If we miss that, or if we lose this respect that we have, we will not keep going together. So I hope that in 1 year we're in the same place personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree. I think that we're going through this process of just having these little goals, going every 2 weeks and just going bit by bit and trusting that this is the process and this is part of what we do. And we can keep some of the old habits that we had in the pandemic of researching a bit more, giving ourselves time to just listen to music or just do nothing or sleep better or eat better or go to the gym, you know, really basic things and just trust that that process bit by bit will achieve whatever it needs to achieve without any particular.
No,
we don't do goal setting. We do more like
daily.
How are these 2 weeks going to look?
Yeah. That's so nice. It's also like the thing you talk about, communicating with each other, treating each other nicely. I think it also transfers in how you are with other people. And I think one of the reasons why I think a lot of, you know, students really love you and always just hear the best feedback about you guys. And probably also one of the reasons why I have you together. You're like the first guests that are, you know, not one person, but two, because I just really like the dynamic you have, but also the way I think you treat each other and the way you treat people around you. And I think that's just something that we can build in the communities and local communities. And like, when I see that, I'm like, okay, we're gonna be okay with the dancing and you know, the local international communities.
That's very, very nice of you.
Talking about nice people in the community, I think that you are one of them.
So I hope we see each other soon. In real life, not on Zoom.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yes.
I really hope, because I miss, you know, just traveling to bigger places. And one of those reasons why, you know, it was now smaller workshops are back, but like you don't get to see all of your friends that we would see each other quite often. So, and yeah, having those conversations, I think, again, what you said about keeping the spirits up, it's like, okay, mm-hmm, you see those people that are in the same thing as you and you have some chats and you're like, okay, you have some more energy to keep going.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that at the beginning of the pandemic, we were all more in Zoom, for example, saying, hey, let's have a chat, how you feel? But now, not anymore.
Yeah.
And it's true that there is a disconnection between all of us, that we're in the same situation.
Yeah,
for sure.
We'll get through it. We'll get through it. This community is built on stronger things that last more than 2 years. So I'm quite hopeful.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for chatting with me.
And thank you for inviting us.
Yeah.
I will see you around.
Yes.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. This podcast was created together with Dimitrio Papa, who made this beautiful soundtrack, and Lena Vilnishkita, who created the logo. If you enjoyed this episode, go comment, share, or just drop us a message. You can find more updates on Facebook or Instagram of What a Jazz Dance Studio. Till next time, Take care and goodbye.